I give them the, here's the big picture. And I do that by first saying, here's what we accomplished last year. Wow, as a team, look how much we did. And I give numbers that are staggering. I give numbers that gain perspective. I've had
this is some, starting to sound more like an annual meeting to me.
Yeah, but I make it very quick because I don't go through every little item, and I don't go through the shareholder report, and I don't go through all the financials, and we skip all of that. We only hit highlights to get these guys thinking more about, wow, we were really big last year, and we can be even bigger this year. And I love being part of something that's bigger. Welcome to the Small Business Safari, where I help guide you to avoid those traps, pitfalls, and dangers that lurk when navigating the wild world of small business ownership. I'll share those gold nuggets of information and invite guests to help accelerate your ascent up that mountaintop of success. It's a jungle out there, and I want to help you traverse through the levels of owning your own business that can get you bogged down and distract you from achieving your own personal and professional goals. So strap in, adventure team, and let's take a ride through the safari and get you to the mountaintop.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Alan. Good to see you again. Cheers.
Cheers.
We are in our new podcast studio getting all excited. And we thought we'd take a pause from the guests that we've had on just because we want to kick it like we were kids again and go back to just you and me kind of chit-chatting, shooting the breeze, seeing what the hell's all going to happen.
Sounds like fun.
So here we go. Alan, I know we haven't really talked about what I wanted to talk about, but man, I just came off strategic planning with my team. What do you think of strategic planning?
Shoot me in the head right now.
Oh my God. What the hell are you talking about? What? Shoot me in the head.
Oh, come on. So everybody who's been in the corporate world, you finally make your way into management and they're like, oh, we're going to have this strategic planning meeting and we're going to blah, blah, blah hotel and for 2 days. And the first time you go, you're excited. And then in year two or three, it's like, oh, it's the most painful experience you could ever go through.
Why is it so painful?
Well, first of all, just from your own physical comfort, you're used to having freedom and flexibility throughout your day. And if you're in an office, maybe you're going out and seeing customers, or maybe you're just going up and down the hall. You're not sitting at your desk for 8 straight hours. You're in a room with all the senior management who you have to say something intelligent, and you're just hostage for 2 days. And it is torturous. The second thing is you realize it's essentially a corporate circle jerk, because no matter what it is that you discussed, you never hear from it again until next year's strategic planning meeting. How close am I?
You're actually getting close, big guy. You're getting close. But I'm going to dispel that myth later on. But let's keep going, because let's paint the picture of complete hell and complete hostage situation.
It is. It's like, maybe my appendix will burst and I can get carted out of here on an ambulance.
So as an owner of a company, I really believe in my strategic planning process. And I took this from my corporate America days because I took
all this. Of course you do, because you're the owner. You get to leave.
I love it.
You get to kick off the meeting and then just, okay, you guys have a breakout and tell me all this. And then you get to leave.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. But when you're part of the committee, it's the worst. It's just a torturous, evil session that's useless. And Harvard Business Review will back me up, because 95% of strategic plans are never mentioned again. They're never referenced again.
What was that percentage?
95. It might be 93. It starts with a 9. It's just like business plans. And you and I talked about that in the past.
Right.
You write you spend all this time on a great business plan, you stick it in the file, and you never look at it again.
But if you don't get your team aligned, I'm sure Harvard's Business Review has written an article about that word. Okay. Mr. Harvard Business Review throwing that freaking thing out there.
I figured I just launched the first scud.
Wow, here he goes. Yeah. All right.
Refute that.
How about getting your team aligned with your vision and your goals?
No, I think the idea of a strategic plan is a wonderful idea.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe we should talk a little bit about what a strategic plan is and what's the difference between strategy, tactics, goals,
and hostage negotiation, slavery,
ways what to else? Get out.
Well, I'm trying to write down every word you said there. Yeah. Ways to get out.
Lots of XLX, you know, maybe you crap yourself in the middle of the meeting, and that would be humiliation, and being dragged out with the stain in your pants is better than most.
I think if you're listening to this podcast, I want somebody to come through my DM on Instagram at customer service freak. That's customer service dot freak.
I
want somebody to DM me on what you think of strategic plans. Cause
they're hell.
I think everybody's established what Alan's position is here.
Now I've been to one.
Okay.
That was amazing. One. And we've already established in previous podcasts that apparently I'm old. So I've been to a lot of these.
Okay.
There was
seasoned strategic planner.
It was so good. I went up to the facilitator and I said, normally I'd rather have the skin peeled from my body and my eyes gouged out with spoons than go through a strategic, because they're useless. I think I may have said circle jerk in this, you know, but I said, this was stunning. It was fun. It was enjoyable. I actually felt like I contributed, and I feel like this might make our company better.
Wow. One out of, let's call it 15, 20, 5.
Yeah, right.
We're getting a little older. Yeah. All right.
So here we go. We'll start with that.
One was good.
One.
And as an owner of my company, I've now taken my team on three. Mm. Three that, at least in succession with.
And you think you're good.
And I think they're really good. I think everybody's looking forward to it. I think everybody's got bells on Saturday morning, ready to rock and roll and do nothing but try to take our team to the next level.
And so maybe there's a way to actually have a strategic planning meeting that is not only helpful, but enjoyable for the participants.
I think I have a plan. I think I do have I do actually, all jokes aside, I think mine is good. But I also know that I've learned a lot about some of those really shitty strategic planning sessions that we're all talking about. So what makes a bad strategic planning session? Number one, we're going to force you to go. Well, I forced my guys to go. Well, that's the same. You know, that's equal levels of shit at this point, right?
Yeah.
All right. Number two, I'm going to ask you to do it on your weekend time, your free time. No longer.
Oh, yeah.
That's
and,
right.
And you as the owner think, hey, this is a perk. We're going to the Midtown Marriott by the airport.
Okay. Yeah. It wasn't the Midtown by the airport. Okay. It was a little farther up. It was on Shelliford Road. Okay. Thank you. So I asked them to come in on Saturday. So I've asked them to take their free time off. So we're still right there. Crappy. Yeah. I asked them to do homework before we go. So that they're prepared,
which is actually valuable.
I think so. Now here's where I start to deviate. When we come into the strategic planning session, we start in the morning on Saturday. I don't make them stay overnight. I do have them come in during the day, and I do not make them spend the day, the entire day with me. And I don't do it for 2 days. I only do it for 4 hours in the morning. And then we get to do something fun in the afternoon, on a voluntary basis.
Fun like what?
Fun like bowling with their friends, or AKA my employees, or we went to the Top Golf once. We went to the aquarium once. We did some cool stuff. I'm going to try to plan to do a boat cruise when I do it again, because I'm giving off my next secret. And that is right. 95% of strategic plans are done over a weekend, put away, and never freaking executed on. And that was the thing that I took away from corporate America, is that we did those and then we never did anything with them. You never saw them again. Was I aligned with the vision of my leader? I guess so. But I went
for
back
a minute.
But I went back to my job on Monday and had to take care of clients. So I don't remember what the hell the vision was, but I was all jacked up, all excited the very first one. Second one, you're like, ugh. Third one, you're like, can I bring my family? Fourth one, you're like, how do I sneak out of this thing again? I think Alan said something about X-lax. So I feel like it's a valuable exercise, no matter the size of your business. If you have any amount of employees, and that's even one, doing this exercise is big when you can change the mindset of the guys working for you and be inclusive, one, and two, be judicious with their time. Judicious with their time.
So you're doing a strategic planning meeting in order to encourage cohesiveness of the team, buy-in. You're trying to get everybody on the same page.
Right.
You're not solving a problem.
I do that by solving problems. So one of the things I do know about this is that while you listen to me on this podcast and you guys choose to, and we appreciate everybody listening to the Small Business Safari, go out there and listen to it on all the podcasts you can find and tell your friends and go out there and rate, review.
And listen to the podcast while you're reading the book.
Yes. And don't forget the book, but I won't plug too much now, but I will go back to this again. So you choose to listen to me talk and we talk and we go back and forth and we think we're very interesting.
Especially with the more beer we drink
and the more drink. And we have Uncle Jack in the studio with us too. So that's another thing.
Good to see you, Jack.
I think Uncle Jack may make an appearance on one of the further podcasts. But going back to this again, I realize they don't want to listen to me the entire time.
Really?
And so
you're pretty interesting.
You know, actually, I have stopped to meet.
Kind of a big deal.
I stopped my trainee one time. I had two guys in the back talking, and I said, "Hey, stop! Hey, you know what? I don't talk a lot. I only get you guys every couple weeks. I get up here for 5 minutes, but I talk. I think I'm really freaking important. So you might want to listen to what I'm saying." And that stopped the whole group. And they all started laughing, but they loved it. So I realized it's got to be back and forth. So number one, I get them involved by having to do some homework. And the first thing I did one year was just to give ideas for homework assignments. Give me your favorite movie of all time. Give me the character you feel like you most identify in the movies. And the entire strategic offsite meeting was movie theme based. So that was an icebreaker, you know, something to do. I have since moved it to something even more personal. And I ask everybody to pick a personal word of the year, which is an incredible concept. If you've never done this, it is an incredible concept brought out by, I don't know exactly who, but there's a lot of thought leadership out there about this whole word of the year thing. And my team this year embraced that and really thought hard and got their word of the year. And then I asked them to get up and talk for 45 seconds at the beginning of the meeting about the word of the year and why they chose it and why it's important to them. And you say, okay, sounds cheesy. They all bought into it. And
I say that?
No, but
you can see the look on my face.
Oh my God. In fact, you can't see it in the podcast, but he had this big poster up going, cheese ball, cheese ball, cheese ball.
The word of the year is supply chain.
So my guys' words of the year were things like action, integrity, accountability. Wow. It was really deep and very good. Hope, accept, attitude, altitude, great words. So we got up, we shared that for 45 seconds in the beginning each. You know, now I've got 18 people in that meeting with me, so it's a lot bigger. And then I do a year in the review. I do a year review, but I only hit highlights that are going to start to build that momentum. And I'm changing that mindset. Guys, on Monday, when you get back to work, you're going back to answering phones. You're going back to doing estimates. You're going back to doing work in the field. You're going back to managing people. But today, I want you to think about a year from now. And a year from now, what do we want this place to look like? What does your personal and professional success picture look like?
Is that the whole motivation? So let's back up a little bit. For somebody who's just starting a business, when did you have your first strategic planning meeting, and why do you have a strategic planning meeting?
I did it when I felt like my span of control got a little too out, and I needed to, that means I only had so many people reporting to me, but I had a lot of other people in my company. And they had to embody what I was thinking. And I also had to get down what was in my crazy head. So as the crazy scientist who started this thing, I had a lot of ideas in my head. And my cast of characters that came along with me, my merry pirates, when I had two or three of them, they knew what was going on in my head. And frankly, didn't want to know too much about what's going on in my head, but they were with me.
Kind of afraid to know what's going on.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, even we had a podcast guest on Dave Mormon, who even said that even with three or four people at that point, it's time. And I do think it's time. Now, being one, appreciative of what they're doing, and then two, judicious with their time. And I can't remember what my other one was, but anyway, one, two, C. Just follow me. Here we go.
I'm with you.
I'm on a roll.
Yeah. A, two,
74.
Right. So are you having the strategic planning meeting to make sure they're all on the same page of your page?
I'm trying to make sure they hear my page of where I think it's going to be in 3 years. I give them here's the big picture. And I do that by first saying, here's what we accomplished last year. Wow, as a team, look how much we did. And I give numbers that are staggering. I give numbers that gain perspective.
Starting to sound more like an annual meeting to me.
Yeah, but I make it very quick because I don't go through every little item, and I don't go through the shareholder report, and I don't go through all the financials, and we skip all of that. We only hit highlights to get these guys thinking more about, wow, we were really big last year and we can be even bigger this year. And I love being part of something that's bigger. So I only do it in like 15 minutes. And then what I'll do is I do break them out, and I let them go into breakout sessions, but solve a specific problem. I've done things like go out there and tell me what my target market is. Who is your ideal customer? And I want you guys to write all the different things of the ideal customer.
Okay. So I'm playing a lot of devil's advocate here because I will say.
And you're really freaking good at it, by the way. So good that I'm getting another beer.
Yeah. Go ahead. Grab a beer. I actually am a big fan of strategic planning meetings. I'm a big fan of meetings. I just hate poorly run meetings. And most meetings are over long before they're done.
You know, right. That's a great line.
Yeah.
Many meetings are over long before they're done.
Right. And unfortunately, everybody is aware of it except for the person running the meeting. So I think a strategic planning meeting is extremely beneficial. Now, it sounds to me like you're using your strategic planning meeting to make sure everybody's aligned with your vision.
I want alignment with my vision. I also want buy-in with my vision, and I want them to feel like they had a say in where we're going.
So when you're giving them problems to solve, are you being the benevolent dictator, just giving them a little task to do so that they feel good because you already know what the answer is?
No, as a matter of fact, every single time I've done this, they have exceeded my expectations with the follow-backs.
Are you saying that because you think they might be listening to us?
Not one of them is going to listen to this thing. I can promise you that. In fact, I even forced my sales guys to go listen to one of our sales podcasts. Came back and said, hey, what'd you guys learn? And man, they immediately, you know, sales guys, right, can never say, I didn't do it or didn't say. I they all just looked right down. I'm like, you freaking sales guys.
They didn't listen.
Nobody listened yet. And that was dynamite, man. It was gold nuggets. And so this one is too. I lost my train of thought because I just remember them all just dropping their head. This is 2 weeks ago, too.
I think what I asked was something to the effect of, if you're a benevolent dictator and if you give them a task, do you already know the answer?
No, they have come back every single time.
I could be completely wrong about that. Okay.
Yeah, they came back and gave me some great stuff. So what I do is I give them little flip charts, and somebody has to, one person has to be the scribe. One person has to be the timekeeper. So everybody has a role, and then somebody's got to put it on a white post-it that we can put up on the wall, poster post-it. And then they have to come back and present back their findings or what they decided. And every single time they've come back and just absolutely knocked my socks off.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah, I'll give you one. So this year, they came back and... I'm trying to think of which one I want to pick that was the most effective. We talked about the millennials. And I said, if our target market are now millennials, how do we need to change our service model to work with their mindset? Mm. And they came back, and we immediately, after what they talked about, I started to look into the fact that we need to text message more with our customers about what we're doing and how we're coming out to see them. Going out there and texting them and letting them know better. Because one thing we do know about millennials is they expect instant gratification. They expect an instant communication. They expect a lot more communication than, say, older people.
Like you.
Yes. So they, in the absence of communication, will go very deep and dark. And so we realized that millennials needed to have more information. The other thing we also learned about millennials is that if you give them a menu, they will pick from the menu. And in home services and remodeling, sometimes we bundle things together and probably discount them because we're doing them all at once. But when somebody comes back and says, instead of having these 25 things, I want this one thing. And the one thing, you may have given them a $25,000 bid. They might come back and say, I want that $80 line item. And you go, well, I can't do it for $80. I can do it for $150. Well, that's not what your bid says. You didn't honor it. What we found out about millennials is that that same person, while you're sitting in front of them doing the estimate, said, excuse me for a minute, went on their phone, ordered Uber Eats, and had their food delivered to them from the local Chinese place. The Chinese place charged them $12. Uber charges them $10, and they would spend $22 on a Chinese meal. Yet they're beating you up because they picked one item off the menu. So we learned we had to bundle more stuff for millennials. They will pay for good service. They will pay for convenience, and they will pay for good quality. However, if you give them too many options, they will assume that that's what they can choose. All of that came out of the strategic planning session, and we implemented that.
So this may be 100% semantics, but I think strategic planning meetings are not named correctly. This is just my opinion. I mean,
all right, I'm biting.
Yeah. So you're the company owner. You've set goals. I want to grow by 20% this year. You're the one that actually chooses the strategy, maybe with the help of, if you had a business partner, obviously, or key leadership. But when you're doing a strategic planning meeting, you're involving, I don't know, do you have everybody in yours, or do you have?
I don't have everybody. I take key selected leaders.
Yeah.
I also involve my sales team because I wanted them to also understand what their sales manager was hearing. And I also invited my project managers because I wanted the remodeling manager to also have them participate as well.
So you set the goals. You're actually setting the strategy. So in this case, you know, I want to grow 20%. And one of the ways we're going to do it is by going after millennials. That's a strategy. It's really a tactical planning meeting.
That's a great point. I use the term strategic planning because I want them to change their mindset.
Well, because everybody tactical, uses that word.
Right. And I came from corporate America, so I'm guilty. I'm, you know, I'm part of that crew. Then I just came out of it. But
slave to the man.
I am a slave to the man. But tactical for my guys and my company, I mean, literally is every hour of every day, especially on Monday at 8 a.m. You're driving in, you got eight, and then you get that phone call that says, hey, you can't go to your 8 o'clock. You got to go to your 9 o'clock. You got to move. You got to shift. You got to move. The tactical for them is hourly. So when I use the word strategic and thinking about just 12 months, it's mind-blowing to their way of thinking. But going back to your point, I got them so engaged with it. And I'm patting myself on the back as the owner and, you know, making sure I don't have a blind spot with it. But I really feel like that part, getting them inclusive and having them present back and then actually having me, back to your point, 95% of strategic plans just sit there. I actually implemented some of their ideas and then showed it to them 3 months later. They went, hey, dude, I'm digging this shit.
That is absolutely 100% the key to a successful strategic planning meeting, because the success of the strategic planning meeting is not determined the second the meeting's over. It's what happens 6 months down the road. 12 months.
And I had to learn that lesson early. And I still am learning that lesson. So today I come off my awesome strategic planning meeting. I have a great time and I am on an absolute high Saturday afternoon. And I come in on Monday only to find out that two of the people called out sick. One person can't come to work today because they're going to stay home with their kid. And we're not implementing jack. And I just like was so bummed that the high that I had on Saturday was just brought back to reality with a tactical life that I have to deal with in our business that we do. And it's happened to me over and over. But what I realize is that when I came back and did them successively, that means year over year, we did a big one. However, in the quarters, we went back and revisited our quarterly rocks. What we're going to get done every quarter. And are we making progress to that goal? And when I brought them back and we showed that we're making progress and we demonstrated we're making progress and I got them involved in making the progress, good things started to happen. It just didn't happen the week after. It happened the year after. It happened 2 years after. And that's the thing that in hindsight, I had to learn that it's just not going to happen from this earth-shattering meeting. And just because you get up there and you give this great opening and this great closing as the owner on a stage with, I mean,
look at you with your arms in the air.
I got my arms in the air. I did Space Odyssey 2001. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, I can see dun, lasers.
Dun. I had the space shuttle coming out of the freaking machine. Screen, bro. I mean, I had everybody there and I was like, here we go. Here we go. And Monday morning, where'd you go? Where is everybody? Hey, guys, are you coming to work today? That's the key with doing this. because if you don't go and continually reinforce what you did, demonstrate one, that they were valuable in this process. Number two, you showed where you wanted to go with it and you were showing them where you're going. Number three, then you start to see people going, huh, we're going places. And then you don't have to ask that question, because I've heard this before, is every time you do a strategic planning, everybody sitting in the room is all going, well, what's in it for me?
Right.
What's in it for me? How does that affect my bottom line? How does that affect my family? And that's the harder part to implement. And I would tell you that I'm still failing on that one a little bit to translate it. But this year I've actually committed, after the strategic planning meeting, I actually put up one of my rocks, is to show them how they benefit from this, either monetarily or through a personal satisfaction.
So you're going to do that next year?
Yes. This upcoming year, I'm going to implement that and show the team, again, a reward and an award for what they did and what we are doing. Now, if you are in a business and you are not owning your own business, you think it's all about money. It's not all about money. It will be partly about money. However, you've got to find that right reward. So this will be a combination of a monetary reward, because it's taking care of their families, but also some other awards that I haven't figured out yet.
So I have a quote for you. It's maybe not a great segue, but I do think for some of the people that are listening, let's say you're new in business, you didn't come from corporate America, you're not used to the whole strategy and tactics thing. I think it's good to know what that means. And I have a quote from Sun Tzu, The Art of War.
Oh,
are you
and we are at war. I am a big Sun Tzu fan. Yes.
Yeah. And I think that this will help illustrate why this is all important. So Sun Tzu, Art of War: strategy without tactics is the slowest route to victory.
Oh, I love that.
Tactics without strategy is the noise before defeat.
Ooh, even better.
Yeah.
I knew the strategy without tactics is the slowest way to defeat. Isn't that what it says?
No, it's the...
Look at
it's the slowest.
Yeah, obviously.
It's the slowest route to victory.
Slowest route to victory.
Yeah.
So, okay. I had switched that around. Slowest route to defeat.
Yeah,
because so you could do the strategy. You can say you're doing all this great stuff. Don't implement any of it. Well, guess who's going out of business, bro?
Or you don't have proper tactics. So again, you know, the scenario, and we can give a lot of examples. My goal is to catch more fish this year. And my strategy is going to be, instead of bait fishing, I'm going to be fly fishing, because those bastards always caught more fish. I'd be out there fishing all day long with all my crap, and then the fly fisherman would show up with his cool gear and his cool glasses and look at the water and then tie the right fly, and boom, he's landing the trophy fish and he'd leave. So I want to catch more fish. My strategy is I'm going to convert to fly fishing. So the tactics would be what? I need to learn how to fly fish. I need to get the right equipment. I need to know, you know, blah, 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 blah. So the tactics are your action steps that fulfill your strategy that ultimately will get you to your goal. We could do a military one if you want.
Sorry.
No, I'm going off the rails here, but I think it's really important to understand the difference between goals, strategy, and tactics.
Yeah, I don't think we need the military one. That's the reason for my long pause. I have a cousin who's in the military and a very high level, doing things that we just don't want to know about.
But we're glad they do it.
Absolutely. And when you listen to him talk about the way he talks about his operations, he talks like a businessman. He talks about, we have a plan. We go through the plan. We make sure everybody gets a role, gets accountability. And he is talking business.
They understand their job.
They understand their job.
Right.
And he is, obviously, he's working with, you know, just 100% A players the whole time. But he always talks business. And what do we do in business? We always talk military. So then you said, hey, you want a military analogy? That's why I went, you know, we always do that because we have to. But you mentioned this before. Here's the difference, I think, a lot of times between corporate America and being aligned in a small business and being aligned. In a small business, we all are there for the customer, and we should be so customer-centric and focused on beating other people in our market to our customers. I think in corporate America, sometimes we lose sight of that because the bureaucracy is so in our way and we forget why we're there. And that's where, with me in strategic planning, one of the things I told them, one of my great phrases are, and gold nugget coming, here we go, alert, 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 bing bong. I want you to compete externally, collaborate internally.
Mm, good one.
Yep. And use that phrase. We don't need to compete with each other, because I still, in my business, I have a salesperson that turns over to the operations manager. The operations manager gives the scheduler. The scheduler then sends my technicians out to do the job. You can see all the rubs that could happen there.
My favorite thing is, you know, you've got your strategy and you start getting into the tactics, and it's in that meeting that you're going to find out there's been a challenge between sales and operations or your scheduling people. And it's in that meeting that you're going to actually be able to work out a solution. Whereas before, they would just either deal with the workaround or bitch in private about the other departments. And in the strategic planning meeting, you can actually come up with a solution.
That's also a great point. But how do you do that? Because remember what I said, collaborate internally, compete externally. A lot of times these people don't have a chance to collaborate internally because it's always a handoff. It's always a go, let's go take care of the customer because we're competing externally throughout the day, each and every day. So what I do in my breakouts is I'll take my scheduler and my operations manager and I'll pair them up with two estimators each. Or an estimator. I'll take my CSR as the primary person calling in, and I'll put that in that group. So I take all four groups and make sure that each one of them is in their own group so they can finally collaborate internally without having to worry about the customer. And they can start to build some of those emotional ties that we're all doing.
So let me ask you this. I'm sure there's a hierarchy within your organization.
Correct.
Yeah. So how do you make sure that everybody understands in these meetings where we're working things out, throw the titles out the window? How do you prevent the person who never shuts up, you know, from dominating the conversation?
I call that the pre-work. That's my consulting days. I'll go into my sales guys and say, look, at the end of the day, you guys are all leaders in this company. They're all looking to you to make this sale. They don't tell you that. But if you don't make that sale, we don't get a chance to do that job. You've got to make that sale. So when you go in there, you better be the leader, right, in the sales. But in this meeting, I want you guys to put it in gear and back in check. Take your type A, go out there and sell it, and put it in second and third gear, and let the lady answering the phone talk to you a little bit more about what she's doing and how she's setting you up for success. Let that project manager tell you a little bit more about how he's delivering the job you just sold. And listen to them and get them included. And if one of those guys are a little quieter, and let's face it, some of these guys are going to be, try to draw them out. Then I go to the other guys who are a little quieter and say, look, this is your time to let these other guys know that you know what you're talking about. So go in there, and I want you to get it out there. Get out there and have some fun with it and talk to these people and let them know.
There's a lot
of pre-work.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear that you do that. Obviously, you've got a lot of experience doing this thing, but there are some things that you can do that actually can draw the ideas out of the introverts, because no matter how much you do your pre-work, the alphas are still going to talk too much. But, you know, I'm sure you've done this where you send out some of the questions ahead of time.
They all know the questions ahead of time, because I went back and forth actually on that, but I give them a chance to kind of marinate on it a little bit.
Yeah. Let them marinate on it. Actually, maybe solicit some of their ideas before the meeting so that maybe they won't bring it out in public, but then you can actually, you know, announce it to the rest of the team for discussion, even though it came in anonymously. Or you can do some little exercises where at one point we're going to go around the table and, you know, you give me your best idea, but we're going to actually ask every single person to offer their best idea. So even your introverts are going to have to say something.
Yeah. And I do that exactly. The marinating part is exactly for the introverts and for those detailed individuals on the DISC profile. The people that want to not be surprised, the people who don't want to have to come off their seat of their pants, these are the people that want to be prepared. And then the people who are going to come off the seat of their pants anyway aren't going to look at the questions anyhow. So we're even up. Right. And we're all on equal footing now.
Okay, so how are you going to make sure going forward that all this great stuff is top of mind the rest of the year?
All right, so let's wrap this up. Here's what I have learned. And this is not something that I have mastered yet. It does not happen that Monday after. I know I said that earlier. It doesn't happen the month after. It doesn't happen 2 months after. It happens 12 months after. However, what I have done is I have assigned people the accountability to make sure that, hey, coming out of this, we're going to improve profitability by creating a profitability report and using it as a management tool in our estimator and our technician meetings. You are assigned to making sure that that is completed. When you come back, you're going to tell us when you're going to have that done. So we put a date on it and we have that. Okay, you are going to remodel the sales process for us so that the front-end sales process allows us to identify our customer better. And these are examples of that we just did. And you are responsible for having this. Now, this is all due in 45 days from our strategic planning meeting because they were small wins. Because I want to get some small proximal wins so I can go back to the team and go, there we go, we just did it. Now let's go talk about the next 3 months. And I will bring them back together as a group in the office, not off hours. It'll be during hours. And I'll take 2 hours and we'll go over not only what we did, but what we said we'd do, and to show them that we did it.
Well, and I think it could be even as simple as, how often do you have your staff meeting? You do something every Monday morning, don't you?
I do something Wednesdays. And so in home services, I never meet on Mondays because Mondays are hell because we're reacting to everybody sitting at home for the weekend.
Yeah.
And I got people sitting at home. I got Super Bowl weekend. And I got football weekends. I got baseball weekends. So we meet on Wednesdays. I do not do an all staff meeting, not with everybody. Now I meet with each of the groups. I'll meet with the remodelers once a week. I meet with the sales guys once a week. I meet with the CSRs every 2 weeks.
Do you never do a full staff meeting?
No. Well, the answer is yes. Now, once a quarter, I'm going to.
Okay.
Because the team's in place and it's now time to do it.
Which would be a great time to just give a little blurb update on all the action items you had in your strategic planning meeting and just let them.
But your point, the meeting is over long before it ends. And I'm trying to figure out how to make it light, lively, yet impactful so that they get the information that they're still part of something bigger and that we're doing it.
It could be a 5 minute update.
I'm still debating how long I want to keep them. Yeah. And I think that's a great point because if you're judicious with their time and thoughtful with their participation, it will really make a big difference. Mm-hmm. All right. One of the big things I do to cement the fact that we did some great work there is I write each of them a personal thank you note for taking the time out of their day to come there.
Oh, you're getting soft.
Dude.
I like it.
And you didn't even give me this idea, which is even better.
It came up with it all by yourself.
All by myself. And I mentioned their word of the year.
Yeah.
And I just want to, I say thank you for choosing that word of the year and sharing what you did. And I look forward to the contributions you make. And I thank you for coming along this journey with me. And that
is powerful.
If you walk through my office right now, you will go see that it's on everybody's desk. And I didn't notice that until we came in here to start doing the podcast. And that was really cool. Not one person said thanks for doing it. Not one person came up and sent me an email. Nobody sent me a text message, but I see it all on their desks.
I love it. That is awesome.
And so that's how you cement it and bring it home. And with that, adventure team, go make it a great day. Keep going up that mountaintop of success that we all know you want to achieve. Until next time, make it a great day. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Small Business Safari. Don't forget to go out and rate, review, and follow me. And if you like this episode, go out and check out my other episodes or check out my Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn for other great content. And remember, your positive attitude will help you achieve your higher altitude in the wild world of small business ownership. Until next time, make it a great day, Adventure Team.